it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, not much new has happened in the world of the Buffalo Sabres since we talked last, and so we thought it would be a great opportunity for us to take this episode and catch up on the NHL playoffs a little bit. A lot of really exciting and many lopsided matchups so far in this first round here. So I'm going to give a quick overview of the current status of all of the series as of the time of us recording this episode, and we'll go through and talk about some of our favorites. Starting off in the East, Florida with a 3-1 lead over Tampa, Boston taking a commanding 3-1 lead over Toronto on Saturday night. Then you have the Rangers, who are up 3-0 on the Washington Capitals in their series. The Carolina Hurricanes are up 3-1 over the New York Islanders. Moving out west, the Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings are going to be facing off tonight. So the status of this series will be changing by the time you listen to this. But as of our recording, it is 2-1 Edmonton over Los Angeles. Same thing, we are recording in the midst of the Vancouver-Nashville game. But as that series current stands, it's 2-1 Vancouver. Colorado is up 3-1 over Winnipeg. And finally, a very, very fast-paced and entertaining series happening between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars, where Vegas is up 2-1 on Dallas. Taylor, have you had a chance to catch any games from any of the series? And if so, what ones have really stood out to you?
Yeah, pretty much every series. I've been a huge fan of the Islanders-Carolina series.
Oh, wow.
No, so on a more serious note, I guess the Dallas Golden Knights one is the one I've been the most impressed with. Makes sense, because we knew the Golden Knights were good despite the fact that they weren't very good for most of the regular season. They were going to go into the playoffs with a really good roster, and obviously they made a lot of additions at the deadline. They're a very interesting team, and they basically, because they had such a weird regular season, they ended up being the second wild card, meaning they faced the best team in the West, the Dallas Stars. And the Stars are awesome. They're a really fun team as well. Like, they generally have good goaltending. They have top-level defenseman Heiskanen, and they have a lot of good forwards. They're good. They basically have forwards that are good at everything, like Jason Robertson. They have veterans like Joe Pavelski. Very interesting team. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup before the season. And you're not allowed to ask me who I picked to come out of the East. That's against the law. So last night, though, Saturday night, I stayed up pretty late East Coast time to watch their overtime. And it's been impressive from both teams and been pretty even series. Definitely a lot of talent. I would say the Stars have been the better team so far. But, you know, all evened up. Not evened up. It's Vegas is up 2-1. Sorry, they're
correct.
They're the series that's behind. They've only played 3 games. So a lot of a long way to go on that one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. I've caught a couple of games of the series, and oh my god, I mean, like the level of speed and skill, especially, dude, both of those teams are just going 100 miles per hour through the neutral zone. Like, their breakouts are just incredible for both of them. The puck movement is crisp and fast, and again, just the flow of the game is just, it's like I'm watching a different sport from what I was watching the Sabres play this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of funny. I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, and granted, I think it is a difference between like a Western Conference thing and Eastern Conference, but part of me is like, you know, we say that the Sabres, I mean, they were so close last year. They were, you know, never really got like really, really close this year, but they were close enough to be in the conversation this year. And I can't even fathom what it would be like watching the Sabres play at the pace of play of like what Vegas or Dallas or Colorado looks like right now. I just can't even compute in my brain. Like the Sabres look like they'd be playing at like 0.5 speed compared to the opponent in some of these matchups.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing too, because it feels like that's true across the years, but I wouldn't say the West has really been that much better than the East in recent years. And the West, I mean, the East, the bottom of the East this year, the bottom of the playoffs was and remains a disaster. But, you know, there's reasons for that. Detroit, weirder team than they should have been. The Sabres and Devils had hugely disappointing years. Ottawa, LOL. The bottom of the West is still weird. Now, weird, I won't say bad, but it's a weird year for the West, no doubt.
I agree.
The reason I say that is partly because, like, so Dallas is really good. Nothing weird about Dallas. Colorado, despite definitely being less deep than they were a few years ago, still really good. Winnipeg, I would say more solid with great goaltending until the playoffs, which we can get into in a minute if you want. Then you have, like, the surprise Vancouver year. Edmonton, they're Edmonton. LA is really just solid. Wouldn't say anything more than that. Vegas, great, but not a great regular season. And then the other playoff team is Nashville. I figured there's going to be a bad playoff team in the West this year. I was wrong because Nashville finished crazy strong. And now, wow, what a fascinating series that is.
Seemingly not just about to be Nashville, tied up.
Yeah. Not that Nashville is just about to tie up the series. They have held Vancouver to an absurdly low amount of shots in this series.
Yeah.
I want to say through the four games, fewer than 100 shots right now. And it's been a consistent thing through these games. I would not have expected that from Nashville. I would have expected maybe that Saros stood in his head or something like that, but it hasn't been like that. That's wild to me. But
it's important to say, though, you can't talk about that series without talking about the fact that Vancouver is now down to their third goalie as Silov's had to start game four. With Thatcher Demko missing the rest of the series and potentially the playoffs, has that been confirmed? Not confirmed yet. And then Casey DeSmith was injured last game, so they are have some challenges of their own there, just internally. But yeah, absolutely should commend Nashville for how they've been approaching this series and how they've really been able to stifle Vancouver's offense at times.
It's crazy. Just looking right now, they took 12 shots the other night in game three. And they took, looking right now at game two, they took 18 shots. So they took 30 shots between game two and three.
Wow.
They took 21 in game one. That's 51. And tonight, the game is going on still. But as we're talking to you, there's less than 8 minutes left in the game. And Vancouver has taken 15 shots.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't close to 100. They're in the mid-60s. They're four games. They're averaging just over 15 shots a game. This is real dead puck era stuff. And it's coming from a Nashville team that, like, not that Nashville is a bad defensive team or anything, but their coach is more known for offense than defense, I would say, to say the least. And the roster is not like a crazy shutdown roster, but apparently it is right now in this specific matchup.
Ryan O'Reilly, man.
If this series keeps going the way it is right now and the Canucks lose, they're not going to be able to blame not having a goalie. It hasn't mattered that much.
Mm-mm.
To be honest, they haven't given up a crazy amount of goals. They gave up seven goals through the first three games and three goals tonight. So 10 goals in four games, 2.5 goals a game. Not that bad.
Not bad at all.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, where are some other series, Taylor? What else is interesting you? I mean, Florida, I think, has looked great thus far, being up 3-1 over the Lightning. They are getting exactly what they need out of their star players. I think Florida is an absolute threat at the cup here, and as has been the case really for the majority of this season, is the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, I think so absolutely as well. Florida's been great. They were not great yesterday, but that's the kind of classic game. If they win, I believe they're playing on Monday and close it out. That's the actual version of a gentleman sweep. Now everyone calls every five-game series a gentleman sweep. That's stupid. Don't do that. A real gentleman sweep is you go up 3-0, you let the other team win a game at home, and then you go on. Now, they didn't obviously let them win game four. The Lightning, like, kind of dominated, but the first three games made it so that no Florida fan is probably worried about any of that, mm-hmm. about how dominant they were. I mean, they've been really good all the way around. Their scoring is over, like – all the way down the roster. Sam Reinhardt has 3 goals. He's done very well. And their goaltending's been good. Bobrovsky, for the most part in the series, not so much on Saturday, but he's been really good. So it's been an impressive run for Florida.
Definitely has. Yeah. Let's also, I mean, I know we're just jumping around right now, but I just remembered and forgot I wanted to bring this up. Connor McDavid, 9 points in the playoffs so far. Holy
now
shit.
Who's that?
9 points in 3 games, Taylor.
That's insane. And Zach Hyman has 5 goals, right?
Yes. Yes, he does. Dreisaitl has 7 points for them. They are, I'm telling you, man, those guys really, really. Hyman has 6 goals in 3 games.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Well, all right, let me ask you this then, Taylor. Do you feel as though the start of any of these series has changed any of your notions that you had coming into this playoffs in terms of a certain team's standing?
Mainly the Nashville-Vancouver one. On both sides, actually. Because Vancouver, their like utter inability to get chances, it just makes me feel like this was totally luck. And they don't belong in the playoffs, despite the fact that they won their division. And on the Nashville side, I think what it really tells me is they have a coach that's good enough that I don't think they're going to win it all this year. I mean, I have a not bad feeling about them getting out of the first round. Pretty good feeling they'll be out of it. But second round conference final, I think they lose somewhere in there. And from there, what do they do going into next season? Do they try to like get one more year out of this like Forsberg Yossi era? I think they should. I mean, they have guys signed. They have like Ryan O'Reilly signed for a few more years. I think they're primed to make a move, get maybe one more difference maker, hope Saros bounces back in a real way, and be contenders next year just because of what a good coach I feel Andrew Brunette is.
That's something I think that's just a crazy thought. From where we were at the start of this season. I mean, I feel like in the off season, we both had a lot of questions about what their approach was. I really was confused and disagreed with a lot of the moves that they had made because it felt like they were naturally trending towards wanting to retool. I don't even think retool, like rebuild, like just going head first at it. You know, there's the Duchesne buyout and same thing with parting ways with Ryan Johansson. And the Duchesne one especially really didn't feel like it made a lot of sense because he was getting paid a lot of money, but he was still producing for them and was still good. And so it really didn't make that much sense when you're hearing about these signings, like O'Reilly obviously being the big one. And who did they bring on defense too? I'm totally forgetting. They had another, didn't really, I just didn't really get it, but they made me eat my words because they, like you said, they've been really impressive so far in these playoffs. And I don't know. I mean, I think that they've really surprised a lot of people. A lot of people have the same sentiment as you, Taylor, that they're probably the team that has impressed the most, I would say, in terms of where people thought they were going to be initially compared to where they are right now.
Absolutely. Now, we waited long enough. Let's talk about it. The Leafs are down 3-1.
Folks. I'm so excited to talk about it. Okay, yeah. Did you see the videos of them on the bench yesterday?
Absolutely. Woo-hoo. The weather's getting warmer. The days are getting longer. It's raining out a lot. It's spring. That means the Toronto Maple Leafs are about to be eliminated. And this is an interesting one. It hasn't happened yet. I mean, it's probably going to happen within the next few days. But interesting to me, if you go through their history of the recent history of being eliminated, it tends to go one way or the other. I think this is it's pretty bad. And I know it's 8 years in a row, so it has to be bad. But just to give the rundown real quick, year one, 2017 playoffs, that's year one of the Matthews era. So Matthews, Marner, and Nylander are basically all rookies. No one expected them to make the playoffs. They make it. They put up a really good fight against the Capitals, but they lose in 6 games. Everyone's like, hey, what about next year? Next year, they're third in the Atlantic. They got to play Boston, who's second. The playoffs, they lose in 7 games, but people are still excited. And then they bring in John Tavares, and now they got to win. But they finish third again in the Atlantic, a really good Atlantic division. And they lose to Boston in 7 again, and that's a little uh-oh. And the next season, 19-20, they're not doing well. They fire Babcock. They get, you know, into the playoff picture. COVID happens. They end up being in the play-in round. They play Columbus. You figure, well, this will maybe count as a series win. That's kind of a joke, but whatever. They lose to Columbus in 5. was a best of five, but still they lose in five. 2021, they're in the All-Canada division. Everyone figures, well, now they're just going to make it straight to the conference finals. They basically got a bye. They get to face Montreal because they win the division. Montreal is probably the 25th best team in the NHL that year. They go up 3-1. They lose. Disaster. They don't panic. They come back the next year. You'll never guess what they finished. This time, second in the division. But they got to face Tampa. That's 2022. They lose in seven. Last year, they got to face Tampa again. Everyone thinks they're done. In a series where Andrei Vasilevsky played terribly, Toronto comes through, finally wins in six games, wins in overtime, and they get absolutely spanked by Florida in the second round. This is a little bit different than any of those. This is Boston again, sure. And again, yeah, it's a year where they finished third in the Atlantic and had to face Boston. Boston, we both said this multiple times, they're not the same Boston.
No.
They were OT and special teams merchants this year. They won 47 games. They won like 39 games in regulation or something like that, something crazy low. Not that many more than the Sabres even won. This is not all that great of a Boston team. Bergeron's not there. They are getting dominated.
They're
down 3-1. Yeah, it doesn't look like they're in any of these games. I mean, granted, they won one of the games, but generally in the three games they've lost, Boston looks so much better than them, even at even strength, where Boston this year did not dominate at even strength at all.
Yep.
So how about that?
How about that? I wish people could have seen the smirks on both of our faces as you just went through that. That entire time, there was just this beautiful, like, forming and deforming of a shit-eating grin on your face. And I'm just sitting here, like, giddy, just listening to you. And I just wanted to acknowledge that I really appreciated that. That was really great. No, but on a real note, though, two things. One, the defenseman that I was thinking of from Nashville, that it wasn't really a big acquisition, but was a surprising one, was Luke Shen. That's who I was thinking of. Two, when it comes to this series, yeah, I think that's really the most telling part of it, is that Boston is running Toronto's show, like, all phases. I mean, it just feels like Toronto is so overmatched, and it feels like, as has been the case in all of the instances that you just went through over the past several seasons, that this core has been intact, that they are just not ready for the moment. They just can't handle it. And it's a good team. Like, that's the thing that's, like, so funny about it, is that you have one of, if not the best goal scorer in the world. Yeah. The best goal scorer in the world on your team. You have several high end elite players on this team. You have good enough depth for it to be a much better series than it's been so far. And if we're being honest, they have enough depth that they really, and just like, they have a roster that can win multiple rounds. It's just, this team can't. And it's been multiple coaches. There's been, you know, complementary pieces that have been added and removed, and they just, for the life of them, can't figure it out. And all that to say, trade Austin Matthews. You know, I think Utah would really love to have a new face of the franchise. No, I mean, but really, though, I think that they are going to have to answer some questions, though, soon, or ask themselves some questions when it comes to this core and the makeup of it, and if it's time for a major shakeup to happen. And not even just saying that because of the fact that, you know, we enjoyed Toronto not doing well, but it's just so evident that it's not working, and you can't just keep running it back over and over again with the same core and expecting different results when each and every time the same thing happens. Sure, they broke through last year and got through a round, and then what happened, you know? And now this year, they're losing to a Boston team that they quite frankly should be able to beat. So I just think the big thing for me is this offseason, after Toronto loses this, assuming they do end up losing, which seems very, very likely at this point, is where is the shakeup going to happen? Because Matthews isn't going to happen. Like, obviously, they're not going to move Matthews. Tavares, I don't think anybody would be able to take that contract on. And also, I think it's, what, only 1 year left after this year? So there's really no sense in that. But then that brings you to Marner and Nylander. And people were talking about it online a little bit this weekend. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that one of the two guys gets one of those two wingers gets moved. I mean, it seems like it would make sense to, you know, I know they obviously are all very close, like it's a close-knit team. I know Matthews and Marner are very close, but if it's not working, it's not working. And I think also I don't really trust the Leafs brass right now, the front office there. And so it does make me wonder if, I don't know, they're gonna make one of these moves again, like giving up somebody of significant value, whether it is Marner or Nylander. And I wonder if they're gonna be looking in the right places, I guess, for what the return is gonna look like for that.
Yeah, I wonder which one they choose, because actually which one they choose is it makes a huge difference for their future, because Marner only has 1 year left on his contract. If they choose him, that means they got to re-sign him.
Yep.
If they trade Nylander, you got to trade him someone who's really willing to pay all that money for all those years, which I'm sure isn't the easiest trade sorry, trade in the world to make. But I mean, there's no way you can bring it back for like a ninth year of this.
No.
That'd be insane. So I don't know. I don't have either decision. I feel like as long as he's willing to be there, you have to keep Matthews. And the fact that they just re-signed Nylander tells me that they're going to want him around. I think what you do is you trade Marner, but for what? Interesting idea. I know our former guest Jay Fresh floated a Marner for Pietrangelo trade, which doesn't seem like it's actually going to happen, because Pietrangelo has a full no move. But
I did not see
interesting
that.
idea.
That is wild. I don't see why Toronto would do that. I mean, I know it's Pietrangelo, but I don't know.
For 1 year of Marner? A 1D that just won a cup? Maybe a second cup this year? Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, but for me, it's like you want to get something back there that has a little bit of longevity. And with Pietrangelo, I mean, what is he now? 33?
Probably 33, 34-ish.
34? Let's see.
Wow, the Canucks tied it, by the way.
No way, really?
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
Really
34 years
stepped up.
old. He's going to be 35 in January. So I don't know. I mean, I would think that when you're talking about a young piece like that, and Marner, who's barely on the other side of his 20s, and sure, he only has a year left, but I don't know. I would think you'd want to go younger. That's not to take away anything for Pietrangelo, but like Marner's a significant piece. Do you really want to use that piece to get somebody that does not have that much left in the tank?
Are you sure?
I don't think I would. I think I'd look elsewhere. You would trade Marner for Pietrangelo?
Look at 1 second real quick. By the way, Brock Besser scored both goals in the last 3 minutes.
Wow.
Seven there. Here's the thing, though. If that was a one for one, as he pointed out, and again, it really won't happen. Pietrangelo has 3 full years left, whereas Marner has one.
At 8.8.
Yeah. So you also open up cap room there. You open up about more than $2 million of cap room.
You want to be paying a defenseman $8.8 million at 37?
If it's Alex Pietrangelo, yeah, maybe.
Oh man, I don't know. I just feel like they can just look elsewhere to get younger. Not
They
younger, but just
could.
to get somebody younger than Pietrangelo. And again, let me be clear, this is not taking away from it. I know he had a bit of a dip in his game last year and has really bounced back, but like, I don't know. I feel
Are
like
they going to
that.
get another player for player trade that sets them up to win the cup next year?
I think for a guy of Marner's value that you would be able to do that with somebody
Well,
who's
here's the
not
thing.
34.
Again, 1 year and that much money he makes, it really cuts into who can trade for him, and who can trade for him will be a contender.
Yeah, but if you do
Which
it in
means
the
that they're probably not
offseason,
going to be
can't
super
it be
willing to give up
contingent on
big, good
a,
defensive pieces.
but can it be like a PLD situation last year with Winnipeg where he gets traded and the contract is already agreed to at that point? He's
Theoretically,
eligible for an
yes.
extension on
O'Reilly
July
did that too.
1st.
Yeah, O'Reilly did that. I wouldn't do that if I
Exactly.
were Marner, though. I wouldn't do that. But maybe he wants to. Most guys don't go to free agency. Maybe he wants to. But then again, creates a situation where you got to. And he probably has some no movement type stuff, I'm assuming, on his contract. So he probably has some ability to say where he wants to go.
Yeah.
So
I would
that would create a kind of a similar situation, I guess.
That is an interesting one. I would be curious to see more people's perspectives on that. You would do that though? Like if that came onto your desk, you would do that? You would make that
trade? I wouldn't say no. That's something I'd definitely think about if I were Toronto. Also, I think that
fair.
Our friend, whose name I'm forgetting now, Toronto's GM. That was his name, former Calgary GM.
Traveling.
Anyway, I think he does it.
Traveling.
Yes. He likes old guys. He just signed Kadri and Huberto.
That's you're not wrong. Okay, fair enough. How about elsewhere, Taylor? Any other thoughts on any of the other series that we had mentioned before?
Well, by the time we talk again, well, not just that. By the time people hear this, Washington, New York might be over. That's
true.
About to start.
Yep.
Yeah, that went about how we thought it was going to go.
I would have been surprised if Washington even won a game, honestly.
Yeah, no real other thoughts on these series, I don't think. What else do we got? Islanders Hurricanes will be over the next time we talk. Oh, Avs Jets, that's the other thing. Avs Jets, real quick. Game one, insane last Sunday, 7-6. Yeah. But the story of that one was Alexander Georgiev, because it was like, wow, they put 6 goals past Connor Hellebuyck. They took 40-something shots, and they lost, even though they only allowed like 20, low 20-something shots, because Georgiev allowed, I think it ended up being 7 goals on 22 shots, and it was like, not good. That could cost the Avs. And now 3 straight games of the Avs scoring a bunch again, and now Winnipeg is not scoring like they did in game one.
Unraveling.
And yeah, and the Avs are just getting crazy opportunities, taking a ton of shots every game, a ton of good shots, dominating on the power play. And on top of all of that, Connor Hellebuyck only has an .870 save percentage. So kind of a beatdown I didn't expect it. This is the best the Avs have looked, I would say, since their cup run.
Yeah, I mean, they occupy currently 5 of the top 10 spots in scoring across the entire playoffs right now. Cale Makar is second with 8 points in 4 games. And then you have Nathan MacKinnon and Arturi Lehkonen each have 7 points in 4 games. And Mikko Rantanen and Val Niskanen both have 6 in 4 games. So they're humming right now. That offense is moving and scary.
Absolute dynamite top 2 lines.
That Makar goal today, by the way. Did you see the rush? Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
All right. Do you want to hear a word from our sponsor, Taylor, and then maybe we can get to a quiz?
Yeah. All right. Folks, the chase for the Stanley Cup is on. If you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff periods all the way to the hoisting of the Stanley Cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. For example, we got 4 more games coming up today on Monday, more games on Tuesday and Wednesday. Folks, we got games every night. That means you can bet every night. Money line, puck line, over-unders, player bets, all that. And the only way to do that is to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in West Virginia. Call, visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age vary by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
We're back. And Taylor, my quiz for you. I don't know if we've done this before. If we have, it's been a while since we have. But in the spirit of the playoffs and also the spirit of being sad that the Sabres haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years, I thought it would be great to take a trip down memory lane back to the glorious days of Sabres playoffs trips past. And I would love if you would be able to go through and tell me, Taylor, the top 15 scores and points for the Sabres in playoff history. There are 16 total, as number 15 is tied So the way that I thought we can do this, Taylor, because, well, I want to ask you actually. I was thinking what we can do is if you give me a name, like you get 16 guesses, you give me a name correct, you get a bonus point if you get within 5 of their point total. And I'll tell you where they are, like in their standing. If you guess the name, I'll tell you where they are.
Okay.
You like it?
Yep.
All right. Well, Taylor, 1 to 16. Whenever you're ready, give me your first guess.
Gilbert Perreault.
Correct. He is in. Well, do you want to? Actually, no, it wouldn't make sense to guess the place. Yeah, Gilbert Perreault is in first place. Do you want to guess how many points he has?
100.
103, so that's correct. So that's 2 points there. All right, give me another
Dang.
name.
Dave Anderchuk.
Dave Anderchuk, yes, he is number 8. Can you guess how many points he had?
50.
36.
Ooh. Come on, Dave.
I know, I know. 36 points in 54 playoff games with the Sabres. All right, give me another one.
Rick Martin.
Rick Martin, number 2.
I'm going to say 60 points.
Close, 53. So that's only 1 point there.
Okay.
Next,
Rene Robert.
Rene Robert, number 5.
Nice. Okay. Danny Gare.
Did you want to guess how many the number for Robert?
Oh yeah. 45.
Oh my God, again, so close, 39.
Okay.
Danny
Danny
Gare, you
Gare.
said? Correct. Danny Gare is in fourth place.
Okay. I'll guess.
Do you want to give me a number?
Yeah, 43 points.
Nicely done. 44. So that's 2 points.
Okay. Don Luce.
Don Luce is number 7.
35 points.
Dude, very nice. 36 points for Don Luce. So that's another 2 points.
Okay.
You're 6 for 6 right now in terms of guessing names.
Miroslav Shatan.
Miroslav Shatan is number 9. That is correct. What
Okay.
do you got for his point total?
28.
Very close, sir. 35 he's at.
Okay. All right then. Well, I know Danny Briere is on there.
Danny Briere is number 10.
33.
Nicely done, 34.
Okay. Chris Drury.
Chris Drury is number 13. That is correct. What do you got for his number?
30.
31 points. So that's correct. That's another 2 points.
Jason Woolley.
Nicely done. At number 12, Jason Woolley.
28 points.
Oh, 34.
Oh, okay. Alexei Zhitnik.
Incorrect. He's number 21.
Really? Wow. Huh. I would have thought he had more. All right.
You have 5 more guesses to go,
Okay.
or 4.
Think about
You're at
something.
10 of 11 right now.
Yeah, there's these guys.
So, yeah, 5 more.
LaFontaine and McGillivray, but I don't know about them because they both got hurt in the
Do you
playoffs in
want a hint?
93. Yeah.
One is and one isn't.
Shit. LaFontaine.
Is not.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the one that isn't.
Actually, pretty crazy. LaFontaine has 27 points in 19 playoff games, and McGillivray, just because he didn't guess him, but he has 30 points in 31 playoff games. So it just goes to show how great LaFontaine was in the playoffs for the Sabres.
Wow. What about Howard Chuck?
Dale Hawerchuk is number 11.
Nice.
Want to guess a number?
34.
Yes, on the money. Very nice.
Nice. What about
3 more.
Craig Ramsey?
Craig Ramsey is number 3.
Wow.
Give me a number.
48.
Holy shit, Taylor. Yes, 48 is correct.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow, nicely done. All right, two more guesses.
All right, what about Mike Ramsey then?
No, incorrect.
Shit.
Last guess. Think 90s.
Stu Barnes.
Stu Barnes is incorrect, unfortunately, Taylor.
Shit.
Hey, it was a hell of a run. Stu Barnes had 21 points in 39 career playoff games. Nicely done, though. You ended up having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 out of 16 correct. And you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them that you guessed either correct or within 5. So to go through and give the entire top 15, again, 16 technically, because at 15 with 29 points, there's a tie between Dixon Ward and Brian Holzinger. 14, you have Alexander Mogilny with 30 points. 13, Chris Drury with 31. 12, Jason Woolley with 34. Dale Hawerchuk just ahead of him, also with 34. In addition, Danny Briere, 34 points. Ahead of them, into the top 10, we have Miro Shetan with 35 points. Number 8 is Dave Anderchuk. He has 36 points. Number 7, Don Luce, 36 points. Number 6, probably the most surprising one on the list, Donald Audette, 38 points in 61 playoff games.
Yeah.
And then you had the top 5. We had Rene Robert with 39, Danny Gare with 44, Craig Ramsey with 48, Rick Martin with 53, and Gilbert Perreault with 103 points in 90 career playoff games played for the Buffalo Sabres.
Wow.
Pretty damn good numbers, though. You did well.
Thank you.
Those 90s ones were tough, for sure.
I would have never guessed Dixon Ward.
No, absolutely not. But put some respect on Brian Holzinger's name.
Absolutely, yeah. Sorry about that, Holes.
All right, Taylor. Any other thoughts you'd like to share before we sign off for the day?
Go Bandits.
Go Bandits, indeed. Also, go us. We have our big Dynasty football draft on Tuesday. Taylor and I have the first and second overall picks.
I'm taking Keon Coleman.
Mine was from a trade. Yeah, Keon Coleman, number 2. Very nice.
That's right. Absolutely.
Got to do it. You got to do it when you can have Marvin Harrison potentially on the draft board at that point. I think you got to go with the tall guy from Florida State. Do we like the pick?
Sure. He seems cool.
He does seem cool. I don't know how much I love the draft, though. I got to be honest.
I don't know. I
feel like it could have gone a little bit better.
In terms of what?
I just think that there's a few different picks that I personally would have made. I mean, I feel like when you were at that point, if you wanted to go, like, you had to pick receiver, obviously, at some point. But I feel like they could have taken, like, Cooper DeJean, whatever it is, for example, at 33, and then use 60 and one of the fours that they had, one of the four, or no, what do they have, four fives and a fourth? Using a couple of those and then moving up and getting a receiver of significance, like whether it was Coleman, whether it was Ladd, McConkey, like any of the guys that kind of went in that row there. And I also would have wished they would have taken a second receiver. I mean, you had guys who had fallen, I think, a little bit below where their expected draft position was in the form of like a Troy Franklin or a Tez Walker. I mean, you had those guys going in like the fifth or the fourth round, excuse me. And for me, I feel like, again, that would have been like a natural place to look to trade up to just try and get a guy who's being drafted below where they probably should be. But, I mean, it seems like they made some good picks, too. Like, I think, you know, the DT they got seems like he should be cool, and the safety, too, as Chris Sims would call him, the great white safety from Utah. the weirdest tweet I've ever seen. And then he was just in the replies being like, haha, it was a joke.
I mean, I guess obviously it was a joke.
It was Chris Sims. It coming from really didn't feel like it landed like that.
Weird guy.
I mean, so you liked the draft though? You didn't mind it?
I liked it enough. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't get too hung up on it. One thing is, I'm pretty anti trading up generally in the NFL draft. It's I mean, the data is kind of out there on it. It works very low percentage of the time. It's generally not worth it, unless, well, obviously, if you're trading off for a quarterback, it's worth it, but very rarely is it worth it. And, they adjust most of the positions. Like, they're going to be thin at receiver this year, no doubt. I guess we'll see how they work with that. I just think in general, this is obviously going to be their down year, quote unquote. And even with that, it's like, the roster's not terrible. They Allen with a few weapons on offense should be a top 10 offense regardless of what happens. And McDermott defense, as long as it's not full of scrubs, should be a top 15 defense. So they should be good again. And the division's not that good. So I feel
Yeah.
pretty good.
All right. There we go. Were you, did any of the drafts from any of our division rivals worry you at all? I really didn't want Drake May in the division, to be honest, but also that's not a
Yeah, I
great
like Drake May.
situation. I liked him a lot too. I just don't think it's a good situation for him to go into, but.
It probably isn't, but unfortunately, I think he's good. I was really
Yeah.
hoping they were going to take Jaden Daniels. Unfortunately, the Commanders, the commandered. So good
They
luck to them with
did.
that.
They sure did. Well, maybe we'll have to have somebody on to talk some draft soon. Talk a little
Yep.
Bills since we're in the off season here.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Any recommendations you want to give?
Yeah, I saw Abigail on Friday. Interesting movie. I recommend people that make movie trailers knock it the fuck off and stop showing the whole movie in the trailer. What a disgrace. And if you're a horror fan and you haven't seen the Abigail trailer yet, don't and don't look up anything about it. Just go see the movie. It's a good enough horror movie. But if I didn't know what it was going to be going in, if I just got the original premise of what it seems like it's going to be for the first 45 minutes of the movie, I'd have loved it. But the marketing just totally destroyed
I think a movie
it.
premiere or excuse me, a trailer that did that really well is Trap, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. I think that one is great because it gave you the idea of the premise, it gave you the hook, but also you know that it's you don't know what's gonna happen and you know that a hook or something like that or like a big twist is gonna be coming, but you have just no idea what it could possibly be. And so I think that, and I think a lot of people were also talking about the fact that they appreciated that it gave just enough without giving too much.
Yeah, I think that's a great example.
Huh.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're checking out both the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites. Whatever streaming platform you're currently using to listen to this episode, make sure you're checking out all of our other shows. And make sure you're following the Charging Buffalo and the Hockey Podcast Network on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find us, Straight Up Sabres. Before you close out of this app, whatever you're using to listen to this episode of the pod, make sure you are either following or subscribed to us, and we'd appreciate it if you leave us a nice rating or review. Last but not least, we have our wonderful sponsor, folks. Oh, don't we love them? And that's DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you use the promo code THPN to take advantage of great deals at checkout. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Thursday, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Straight Up Sabres.
Sitting on the bedroom floor.